This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Door County, Wisconsin. Join us here at the White Gull Inn, and we're here with Meredith. So you and your husband now own and operate the White Gull Inn, but your mom and dad preceded you, right?
Yes, we've been here as the owner since May of 2018. Both of us returned here full-time in the fall of 2014. I, of course, grew up here, but Chris was new to the White Gull in 2014. My parents have been here since 1972, so they were here for over 40 years before they turned it over to us.
And your family, you lived right down the road, your home, right? Not too far from here.
Yeah, I grew up about 5 miles away in the countryside, and my parents still live there.
You, as a girl growing up here, was the White Gull Inn a part of your reality in your life every year, every summer, and you were looped into helping out?
Yep, absolutely. As a child, especially, I was the oldest, so I was an only child for a long time. I basically just came to work with my parents every day and grew up learning to walk in the kitchen and playing all over this property and running all over. I did work here as a teenager in various positions, busing and helping out, but because I was pre-vet, I spent most of my summers getting jobs within my field to get experience. White Gull was always a part of our lives. We sat down at the dinner table every night and talked about work, or heard my parents talking about work, and we were always very much involved and here after school, and always kind of felt like this was our second home.
What I find fascinating about the White Gull Inn is it's really unchanged for 120 years, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about going back in time, how this started.
It was started by a German doctor, Dr. Hermann Welker, and his family back in 1896. And he started it as a summer getaway for city dwellers in Chicago and Milwaukee primarily. It ran almost like a health spa where people could escape the city to get fresh air and swim in the cold lake. He had a very regimented schedule each day where people had to do a pre-breakfast swim in the lake and followed by planned meals that were supposed to benefit their health and relaxation.
And at that moment in time in American history, that was a big time fad, right? You had the Dr. Kellogg Resort, very similar.
Yep, exactly. Over the years, it was always a resort, but it varied in size and what meals were included in the hotel. When my parents took it over in the 70s, the only meal that was being offered was the traditional Door County fish boil. Over the years, added breakfast, lunch, the candlelight dinner. Eventually, it started expanding the hotel to be what it is today.
Mm-hmm. And then along the way, your family came up with this killer breakfast treat that went on Good Morning America, I think, nationwide.
Yes.
Tell us about that story.
So that, I remember, it was very exciting. It was a complete surprise. My dad got a call out of the blue one day from Good Morning America.
Did your dad come up with that menu item?
Yeah, my dad and one of our former managers came up with it. She had found a similar recipe that I think involved pineapple stuffed French toast, and my dad said, well, why don't we try this with cherries? It would be very Door County. So they came up with the idea, and it had always been popular, but nothing like it was after the Good Morning America contest. So we were nominated by somebody in the community who anonymously submitted a letter about the White Gull. We had no idea this contest was even happening, and then my dad got the call that we were one of the 5 finalists. And then they opened it up to the public for voting, and we ultimately won. So it's very exciting. And after that, it just exploded. We had to add a second griddle just for stuffed French toast and had a dedicated employee just stuffing French toast all day long.
Wow.
So quite the windfall.
Give us an example of the evolution since you and your husband have taken over. Your mom and dad bailed out of ownership, 2018? Here you are.
Yeah, they are still very much involved, and it's still very collaborative. But I'd say the biggest thing that was an interest of mine, after I was a veterinarian, I got a degree in agroecology, which is sustainable agriculture and food systems. So my big interest was incorporating more local producers into our food sourcing. my parents had always gotten local fish and local cherries and maple syrup, but I started working with some farmers to get all of our fish boil potatoes grown organically and locally for us, and working with some farms who can do wholesale quantities of food so we can get good local produce most of the year, actually.
So you've been pretty successful in sourcing local,
yeah,
top to bottom. Yeah.
There's obviously things in Wisconsin you can't get year-round, locally grown, but we do our best, and some of our partners have hoop houses and greenhouses, so we can get most of our greens year-round locally. And this time of the year, it's endless what you can get locally.
So how many rooms are here? Do you have standalone cottages?
Mm-hmm.
Who typically comes to stay? Where do they come from?
Yeah, so we have 17 rooms. 14 of those are two-person queen bed rooms. Three of them are cottages or houses that have multiple bedrooms and can accommodate a family or a group. Two are four-person cottages. One is an eight-person house with two bathrooms. We have five rooms in the main lodge here, and then four in two of the outer buildings, including one building that's all double whirlpool luxury suites. Our typical clientele, I would say, is mostly from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So Milwaukee, Chicago, Twin Cities, Madison. But we do have travelers who come from California, Texas, Florida. But definitely the bulk would be from the major Midwest cities who are, this is their regional vacation destination.
And you stay open year-round now, right?
We do.
Back in the day, it was summer resort. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. My parents started staying open year-round in the early 80s.
So here we are, strange days, strange times, yeah, with the COVID germ out there. And you guys, like all of the resorts in the peninsula, have relied on kids' summer vacation time students coming to help you. And that's been a tough go, hasn't it?
It has. The last few years, we've relied heavily on the J-1 international student workers.
So that's not happening?
No, that program was completely canceled this year. We were lucky that some American college students who might have done sports camps or internships didn't have those opportunities this summer, so they were available to apply for jobs here, but it's still been very much a struggle to keep the in staff to the level. We had no idea what to expect. We didn't know if we'd be completely dead this summer or if we would be busy. So we've been far busier than we ever expected, and keeping staffed to that level of business has been a challenge.
Every year it's a challenge to a point, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Labor is a huge factor.
It is,
yeah.
Absolutely. It takes most of my time, in the summer especially, spent just hiring and keeping the business staff.
In a moment about your location, you're encapsulated in like a little forest jungle, basically, and what, a block from the lakefront?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're half a block from the Bay of Green Bay, and we're lucky to be on this little dead-end part of the street, so we don't have all the through traffic passing us, so it mm-hmm. feels very peaceful and quiet down here, even though you're just a half a block walk to the water and half a block to the main shopping district of Fish Creek.
And there are quite a few shops downtown, right? A real mm-hmm. variety of places.
Yeah, there's no chain restaurants or shops, so walking through town, there's an abundance of little boutique, unique shops and coffee shops, restaurants that offer any level of formality or type of food that you're looking for. This summer, I'd say I'm most proud of our staff. We're really lucky because we're open year-round, and because my parents were here for so long, we have a really dedicated staff who some have been here 30, 20 years, and they have really stepped up this summer and adapted to all the new procedures and kept a smile on their faces through all the challenges and having to explain to people why we're doing what we're doing. And they come to work, even if, you know, none of us know what that means, what that risk is for us. But they've been really wonderful. And
I know, it's obvious walking in, you guys are very stringent in your health and safety protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're 6 feet apart and you still have your mask on. And all your workers have their mask, and you've shifted where people socialize. Tell us about that effort.
Yeah, so we were closed for 12 weeks in March and April and May. So we had some time to, as this was all unfolding, to try to visualize what this would look like. And we really just based it on all the guidelines that were coming out. So the CDC and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation released industry-specific guidelines, and we just tried to follow them as closely as we could with having one-way traffic through the restaurant and 50% capacity and at least 6 feet of spacing between tables. And it took some getting used to and some thinking about how it would work, and definitely a lot of signage to explain it to our customers. But it's really not that bad. It, you know, once you get used to the system, it works, and the staff has been great at just adapting and making it work.
And on the other end, the guests have been compliant and good about it,
I'd say 98% have been very wonderful and understanding. Most appreciate that we're trying to take their safety into consideration and make it possible for everyone to be able to be out and traveling and feel okay about it. You know, certainly we've gotten pushback from a vocal minority, but that's going to happen anytime and with any change you make.
They've been around since caveman days. So if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct them?
Yeah, we have a website. It's whitegullinn.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as White Gull Inn. And we have winter concerts. Not sure that's going to happen this year. And other winter off-season events. All of those are described on our website. We have news stories and blogs and other things on the website, as well as the whole history of the inn. So there's a lot of material there in addition to our menus and our booking site for the hotel. And my name is Meredith Colson Cantor, and I am one of the owners at the White Gull Inn.
Thank you so much for sharing. What a great morning in paradise. I do not want to leave.
Well, thank you for coming. Yeah. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in Door County.
Well, I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Door County, Wisconsin. We'll see you here. Where are we?
We are on Washington Island at the tip of Door County. Wonderful place. Wonderful lavender. Wonderful place to visit.
So we are at the lavender farm.
Yes, the largest lavender farm in the Midwest with 20,000 plants.
And the formal name is?
Fragrant Isle.
Very cool. Do you have, 10 acres or so?
It's about 7 acres.
And that's under active cultivation?
The grounds is 21 acres, but actively cultivated is 7.
I'm just so fascinated with everything that I jumped ahead of the curve, and I need you both to introduce yourselves.
Okay, my name is Martin Anderson, and I'm one of the founders of Fragrant Isle.
Edgar Anderson, as well. My wife Martin and I founded the company.
And how long ago?
The company started in 2012, and the actual planting happened in 2013, so it's going into 8 years.
So you're 8 years in with your plants, right?
That's correct.
So they're like at their optimal maximum.
Exactly. You know. This is actually the prime of the plants, where they actually look the best, and they also give you the best yield in terms of the amount of oil that you can get out of them.
Interesting. So that being said, to keep the flow smooth, you need to be thinking about crop rotation, of moving, taking out some plants and replanting.
That is correct. The longevity of the plant will, you know, we're thinking it's going to be between 10 to 13 years. Mm-hmm. So that's why new plants have to come behind. And we've actually started. We have about 6,000 plants that are only 3 years old, and they're coming along to replace the ones that are going to phase out.
So logic assumes that you're going to kind of do a leapfrog in that you can be planting now X amount of, like an acre of new, while you're old guys that are still hanging in there are still going, right?
That's correct.
So then does it follow that you would want to leave that land fallow when you take the crop out?
It's going to be a hard choice to make because of the infrastructure that goes into it, like irrigation and the actual weed blocking. So we may reuse that plot for a second time and then not let it go to fallow for right away.
Yeah. Interesting. The point of the exercise of your crop is?
Well, we create approximately 250 products that we have tested over the year. We use our lavender on every one of them. Everything is done in different locations in the United States, as we have a labor issue on Washington Island, of course. But they have been proven well received. We constantly reinvent ourselves. Every year we introduce something. Like last year, we introduced CBD with lavender, and that has been a huge success. Mm-hmm. So we are stable. We constantly explore. Everything is natural, and that has seen has been the success behind the plant, of course, and the beauty of the plant and its potential on the future.
Is there an anchor product to your business, to your lavender?
The basic is the hand and body lotion, of course, but we do a lot of healing product. We have tea, which we do with a bird. I will say we have 20 product to 30 product which are constantly in demand, and then you have the 200 which have always something that people are looking at, maybe in less quantity but as valid as the rest.
So sometimes your raw ingredients are shipped out and processed and finalized.
We always do
somewhere
that.
Else.
Yes. Yeah. We do process here all what we sell culinary-wise, mm-hmm. the jam, the cookie, the lavender ice cream is done in Green Bay, actually. But the rest, we send the oil, the pure oil, to our small group of women, mainly, which are retired, which are doing mainly all our product. Mm-hmm.
Share with us for a moment, you were talking about the medicinal qualities of lavender.
You know, we don't claim to have any medical healing properties because we're not doctors and all that. But lavender has been known to be a plant that is not only relaxing but also helps, is anti-germ,
antimicrobial. Mm-hmm.
And it has all those properties that are part of the folklore of lavender for centuries. It used to be part of the medicine cabinet back in the old centuries, where people used to use lavender for everyday purposes on skin problems and things like that, and relaxation as well.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about when you guys were out in the field doing some pruning.
Yes, that's quite a story, yeah. Usually when you're harvesting, it involves cutting a part of the plant, and then it releases this very strong aroma, which actually when you inhale that, you start getting very relaxed. So a lot of the people that are helping us to harvest get sleepy, and they end up having to go home and take a nap.
So you have to have siesta.
It's like the bee. You have thousands of bees in the field, and sometimes you see them on the floor, and some people have come to us and said, do you have dead bees over there? No, they are not dead. They are asleep. They are completely drugged by the nectar they have been ingesting in the morning. So it's a kind of a cute anecdote, but it's the truth. It's fun. So, to a certain extent, it's almost do that to people on a more, of course, quantity. Yeah.
Interesting. So here we are in the middle of the summer in a very strange year.
Yeah, I'll say.
We have COVID-19 and people in masks and whatnot. And what a perfect place to take a family to get out and do something.
Yes, that's correct, because the so much area that you can easily social distance, the 7 acres of plants, and you can just walk all over without having to come in contact with people you don't know.
As we look around and we see all the people out in the fields, they're just out there to be there.
That's
they're
right.
They're just kind of just savoring the moment.
That is correct.
Yeah. I think that the beauty of lavender is that it induces you to want to relax. And I think people are enthralled by the color of the lavender. Mm-hmm. But when you walk the field, you can smell the lavender, actually. And it's calm everybody down. You don't see anybody excited. That's the beauty of a lavender farm. And that's why we try to induce that. We keep the distance. We kind of pace, if you wish, the number of people in the field. Mm-hmm. All that is designed for that, so people can enjoy themselves without stress. That's the idea today, I think.
It's so cute. This whole little gaggle of little kids out there are zooming around, and you would think there's a maze or something.
They absolutely love it. They can walk.
The space between the plants, the green, just becomes a racetrack for those kids, and they just get to run down. It's great. The other aspect of it. You see a lot of people just coming in to photograph themselves in this beautiful setting. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the pictures they are posting in their social media, it's an amazing thing. It's just, we get a great satisfaction out of that.
Well, it's such an anomaly in the high-tech, fast-paced world we live in to have such a simple entertainment.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have any rides, you don't have anything. You just walk the fields. That's pretty incredible.
It turns out that we're actually a working farm. It's the main purpose is to grow, harvest, and do production. But the attraction and the allure of this plant is so much that it also has basically agritourism value to it. Mm-hmm. So we have understood that very well, and we've actually made sure that the fields look pristine and clean and beautiful so that people can also enjoy the beauty. And then when they're gone, we'll harvest and, take the oils out and make our products.
So there's a little booth over there. People, they buy a ticket to get in?
Yes, they do. We had a year ago decided to do this. It's help us with the expense that we have to maintain the field, of course. And I think it's helped us to have people enjoying themselves better. We at some point it was too many people at once.
Right.
And I think doing that, as people have the time to relax, they have the time to be able to sit, they have the time to be able to have a meal. And all of that is part of what we want people to experience. This is a working lavender farm, which have expense, but we want people to enjoy the beauty of it, not to run through it like maniacs.
Another dynamic, inside this main barn building, what is in there? There's a restaurant?
We have a cafe, but a cafe there where you take, you order, and then you can come and sit outside. Of course, this year with the COVID virus situation, we had to follow CDC guideline, which means that we cannot get more than 20 people in the store. So we have organized up front some table and some chair and some shed so people can wait to go in. But we have a cafe which is open, who sell all kind of things with lavender, and we have a store who sell our product on the retail floor.
On the retail items, what's the number one, the most coveted?
I will say anything under Fragonal. We sell hundreds of products. Which are done with the oil. So, we cannot really, I will say we have probably 10 top products on there, from hand and body lotion to soap, but you have so many more things around it that people can explore. Like we have a fabulous lip balm with CBD on it and lavender. We have an entire line of soap who goes from pomegranate and lavender to mint and lavender. So it's a lot of product around the main product, if you wish, mm-hmm. that you can explore and learn, the different way you can mix and match lavender oil, really. So,
talk to us about the season on Washington Island. I mean, right now it's paradise. It's so warm and beautiful. It's hard to imagine that you're going to have a cold, brutal winter day.
Yes. In the winter, we are in Wisconsin, so the winter is pretty brutal. But again, all of us are used to it here. The beautiful season for us is really between May 1st and October, the end of October. You have different type of season, with a little bit being on the hot part in July for a week, and then the rest of the time you have blue sky and a breeze, so it's really never overwhelming. But living on the island all year long, you have to be prepared.
Do you still go and have attractions for Halloween?
No.
So you're
are pretty closed down.
Yeah.
I mean, the business is really open from May 1st to October 31st. We're trying, starting to phase down by October 15. Mm-hmm. The bloom of the lavender really starts around, depending of the year and the weather, of course, I will say June 15 to, I will say, August 31st or August 15, depending when we start harvesting.
When is optimal harvest time typically?
The harvest really starts at the end of July. That's when the early blooms begin to be ready. But then there's other plants that come into the blooming. So we actually take about a month to harvest, because that's how long it takes us to put all those flowers into the distillery. So
let's talk about distilling of lavender. That's really cool. You have your own processing facility.
We do. We have two stills. They're copper. And the old world type copper stills, this model has been around for so long, the design.
Is it like they call the swan neck?
That's correct. Uh-huh. You're going to see it as when we walk in there. And the method that we chose to extract the oils is called low temperature, low pressure, which is the one used to extract therapeutic grade oils. If there's other commercial, stills that will pressurize the vessels and put a high temperature and get done in half the time, but then you don't get the therapeutic grade that you get with the more subtile or, mm-hmm. the lesser invasive type of distillation that we do. So our oils are therapeutic grade. The other aspect of this is how long you distill. That's a key factor on the quality of the oil, and we go for 120 minutes every batch versus commercial grade oils, which will go for 20, 25 minutes. So that's something to know when you're purchasing oils in terms of mm-hmm. whether they're going to be therapeutic grade. And by therapeutic grade,
but how would a consumer know that?
So the second aspect of the oil production is a lot of countries around the world will actually dilute the essential oils because the plants don't give you a lot. So they add oils that are not having any scent, so mm-hmm. coconut oil, palm oils, or olive oils and stuff like that to create more volume.
Right.
So
they're like fillers.
Fillers. Yeah. So the way to know that is to basically take a drop of the oil, let it dry on a white sheet of paper for 30 minutes, and if you have a flat stain, that's a pure essential oil. But if you end up with a waxy ring around that stain, mm-hmm. that's your nut oil, your tree nut oil. And so you got to be careful what you're buying. And, diluted oils will not have the benefits that essential oils have. Sure. So that's why it's important.
That doesn't mean that they are bad, but they are really used for different purposes. Yes. Mm. Therapeutic oil can be used on any variety or thing with the guarantee that you are having 100% oil on your product. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it goes with price. I think to have, what was that, the dimension? We use 50 pounds.
So I can talk to that. So to get 8 ounces of oil or pure essential oil, you have to cook about 50 pounds of flours into your distills. So it's very low yields, and that's why essential oils, pure essential oils, are going to be a little more expensive than the run-of-the-mill type that you see in the big boxes, retail stores, I'm sorry. And what part that you'll be missing is the aromatherapy value mm-hmm. of essential oils if you don't buy the pure essential oils.
So, mandatory.
It's a steam distillation, basically. It's boiling water mm-hmm. at 212 degrees.
Yep.
The steam just goes through the material, the plant material, and vaporizes the oil, and then it goes back to a condensing tank, which converts it back to a liquid. And the liquid is actually a mix of oil and hydrosol, which is the byproduct. And this hydrosol is actually floral water, and we use that for...
Do you segregate the...
Yes, it's a very mm-hmm. simple process. The oil floats to the top, and then you drain the water from the bottom and until you just have oil in the vessel. And
but you utilize the water, too.
The water is actually... it's called hydrosol, and basically it's purified floral water because it's gone through the steaming process, the distillation process.
Right.
So that is used for purposes of doing room sprays and body mist, uh-huh. pillow sprays, because it does smell like lavender, but it's not exactly oil.
That's really cool. So waste not, want not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, so.
What are you most passionate about? What are you most proud of?
Well, I can answer that. I mean, after retiring and hoping not to work again as hard as I worked before. Creating this is kind of a second career, if you wish, and then proving that after you retire, you can still be valid to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. And I think for us here is the fact that we were able to put a business on the island who helped the island with its economic growth and the touristic attraction that we were able, and the number of jobs we created. I mean, we employ 24 people during the summer. We basically help 7 kids, college kids, to go to college. Yes, they work, but it teaches them how to work on the real world too. So I think it's all for us, is that proud of having accomplished something positive at the time of our life where we could go and be boating on the lake.
And you have year-round employees.
4 people. Again, the core lady that we have range from 65 to 72. So we are all, a little bit up, up there. But we all enjoy doing something. And I think not only did it get and support some income where it was necessary, it's I think they love what they do. I mean, it's a nice place to work. It's a nice environment to be in. Of course, stress are there. No business run without stress. I mean, at least I have not learned that yet. But it's positive all around.
The big picture on Washington Island, a lot of people have no clue that you guys even exist.
Well, we are changing that.
I think we've been making a huge effort in getting the word out there. We're lucky to have the retired marketing director from a big hospital network in the Fox Valley area. She's a partner with us, and basically she's helped us get connected with the media people out there. And we've been featured in many magazines and TV shows and all that. And we're lucky, and I think we've become part of the destination list of big top destinations in Door County. So,
in the middle of the winter, you're pretty well closed down, right?
Yes, yeah. We are completely closed down, but we are
public.
Working.
Yeah, to the public.
To the public.
Yeah. Your cafe.
We have an online store.
Yeah, of course, but we have the online store, mm-hmm. And then we are planning the next season. And believe it or not, that's a full-time job off season.
Wow.
To do, because you have to secure the product, you have to secure, make sure that everybody has received, we have to order packaging, we have, so it's a pretty full-time job for mm-hmm. 4
right.
people, actually.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about the world of lavender on Washington Island, where would you direct them?
So my name is Edgar Anderson, and they can visit our website, fragrantisle.com, find more information, or contact us via the online or social media as well, and we'd be glad to answer any questions.
And my name is Martin Anderson, and I'm the other half, and I will answer any question just by email, by phone call, anything which is helping anybody. That's not a problem.
Awesome. Thank you guys for sharing. What a great day in paradise.
Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
It's great to be with you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Washington Island, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
75 years ago, World War II ended. It was the deadliest military conflict in history, resulting in 85 million casualties. We mark the anniversary of the end of that war by celebrating the heroism of our greatest generation, those who served and those who supported their efforts at home. On September 2nd, we will commemorate the signing of the Articles of Surrender aboard the battleship Missouri Memorial at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, a celebration of the peace that followed. Salute their service, honor their hope. Join us virtually for the events on September 2nd, 2020. For further information, go to 75thww2commemoration.org.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War.